opinions expressed in Wildcard Athletics are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
Welcome to Wildcard Athletics, the podcast that breaks down sports that aren't popular in mainstream media here in North America. My name is Monica and I will be your host. Welcome to this week's episode of Wildcard Athletics, the show where we talk about sports that aren't popular in mainstream media here in Canada. So we've had a few sports. We've had rugby, softball, dance, Muay Thai, karate, but now we're whipping out the big guns because I've personally never met anyone that's sailed before.
Really?
No, never. So we're going to be talking about competitive sailing today with Brayden.
Hi.
And I'm very excited. So welcome to the sixth and final episode of Wildcard Athletics.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Surprised you brought me along for the final. It's a lot of pressure for the finale.
You have to live up to the high expectations we hold here on this show.
I'll do my best.
So I don't really know anything about sailing. I watch sailing in the Olympics because I think it looks cool. Like when they're like... They're like leaning back.
Yeah,
like,
it's called hiking out, actually.
Oh, when they're hiking it out?
Yeah.
Okay. So can you kind of explain, like, generally, like, in the most basic form, how, like, sailing works?
Well, see, the wind pushes sails.
Right.
And then you move forward.
This is the beginning of the terminology segment.
So there's lots of sailing terminology. The most obvious one is I guess port and starboard.
Yes.
Which is right and left.
Yes, it is. I know that.
So,
actually.
So yeah, on any aquatic vehicle, you have port and starboard. You remember that because port is four levels, letters.
Mm-hmm.
So is left.
Mm-hmm.
So that's left is port, and then
Wait,
starboard
I
is
never
right.
Thought about it like that when
so
I rode.
That's
really
how it
smart.
Works. And then green and red are also associated with that. I don't remember what that is because sailboats don't usually have those lights because motorboats are the ones. And I usually sail dinghies or the smaller ones, not the big keelboats that need the lights.
Can you explain the difference between the boats?
So dinghy boats or skiffs are your one sail or two sail smaller. Boats that you don't have cabins in them. You don't sail the big open seas with them really. You're there for your good hour of fun. Lots smaller. The big keel boats are the yachts you see in the harbors. They stay in the water. So the dinghies either have a centerboard or a daggerboard. So that's a sailboat stays in the water because you know how like they tip over, right?
Yes.
The wind pushes the sail down.
Yes.
So there's a big piece of wood or fiberglass that sticks from the bottom of the boat into the water straight down.
Okay.
So those are called daggerboards or centerboards.
Okay.
Centerboards you can take out. Daggerboards you flip back under. So the dinghies have those, and then the big keel boats, what I call them keel boats, have these massive keels underneath them that when you're cutting through the water, they just cut through too.
Okay.
So it doesn't fully tip over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. So when you sail, you kind of just like hoist yourself up on the side and like, what do you do?
Yeah. So you hike out. So there's hiking straps where you tuck your feet in and then you stick your butt over the side and you lean back and it's all core. Hiking is a lot of fun. And so the way you're going into the wind, dictates how you sail. So you can't sail directly into the wind. That's called irons.
Okay.
So these are the points of sail. So it goes iron a little bit off of that close haul. So the more into the wind you go, the tighter you need to have your sails in, right?
Well, that makes sense. Because, you know,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So when you're right into the wind, you're in irons, and then your sails are flapping like this because the wind needs to hit the sails for them to buff out.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't work. And then you have close haul, close reach, beam reach, which is where your sails are about 45 out, and then broad reach and running. So running is one of my favorites because your sails are all the way kind of at a perpendicular with your boat. You're getting the most wind.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the wind, you can either usually go fastest beam reach or running, depending on your wind and your boat. And so your sails are at 90 degrees with your boat, and you're just kind of riding the waves and you're going, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah. So those are the points of sail: irons, close haul, close reach, beam reach, broad reach, and running.
how do you get into like competitive sailing?
It is different for a lot of people. Usually if you have that kind of interest, you start with your cancels and then you you join a yacht club if you have that kind of money. for me, it was, I joined through UFT collegiate sailing because I didn't really race before this, but for a lot of kids, as you grow up, you move through the ranks and the classes. So kids are usually starting with the opti boats. So when I said before, the bathtub, because they're really small and the kids can fit in them. And then you move up to some boats called the 49er, is a boat that people sail a lot in. And then as you get even older, you sail lasers, which are kind of like the... Lasers are the... You see them a lot in the Olympics. Those are the classic skiff racer. One person in it, and they're hard to sail. And the races kind of work. There's the... one of the coolest and most underrated parts of sport is the sailing start line. It works like nothing I've ever seen before in any kind of sport, and I can talk about that more later. So as crew, which is what I usually do, I have the jib sheet, so I control the jib. And I try and balance the boat as best as possible. So I'm the one hiking out the most. Because you're trying to get a little bit out of the water, so you're moving. But the further you go, the less your wind hits your sail because your sail is tilted. Mm-hmm. So it bounces off worse. So you're trying to get as flat as possible. Yeah,
it's really interesting. There's a lot of the jib person is kind of like I guess like the balancer, and then the main person steers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Yeah.
And then if there's only one person?
The skipper, there's just the one, you're the skipper, you gotta do everything. Usually, like, the one crew boats only have the one sail, so you don't have to worry about the jib. Like, right. Lasers and opties are the biggest one crew skiffs, and they're one sail.
Okay.
Yeah.
The more you know. How did you get into competitive? That's how you started competitive.
Yeah,
sailing.
So I've just been sailing recreationally at my cottage because I love to sail, but I never really knew how to do all the fancy, super cool things. Mm-hmm. But I was actually at my friend's party last year. It was her birthday, and one of her friends at UFT was like, "I'm on the sailing team at UFT," and I'm like, "What? There's a sailing team? I didn't know this. I'm in second year. I've missed at least 2 years now. What the heck?" And so I'm like, does my school have a team? And she goes, no, but you can come join our team.
Okay.
I'm like, right on. So the next year I go and I try out. And I, like most of the kids, university students trying out for this team they've all been sailing all their lives like me, but they've been racing too. They do the laser, they do the 49ers. We sail 420s in the collegiate level Canadian University collegiate level, it's all 420s, which are two sailboats, two crew. They're kind of old, but they're good.
Okay.
Actually, the 420 is pretty annoying. It's considered not one of the better ones, but that's what we have. That's what we do.
Why is it annoying?
It's just it's big and it's especially for like a guy my size. I'm 6 foot. As a crew, I gotta be. It's the way it's set up. There's a lot of things in my way.
Okay.
And to be able to balance it and do all the right things, sometimes I got to be in like a curled up into a little ball underneath. The mast is what shoots up from straight up from the boat that holds the sails pretty much. And something perpendicular that comes out of that called the boom. And it's called the boom because it hits you in the head and goes boom.
Right.
It hurts a lot. Like, people have been concussed. I remember when I was a kid, I learned sailing in an opti. I got hit out of a boat by the boom.
Oh.
It was great.
That's really interesting.
So that's why it's called the boom. And it's, like, one of the coolest things. It's called the boom.
So that thing's just, like, swinging around?
Yeah. So that the mainsail is attached to the mast and the boom. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of keep its shapes. So if the wind shifts on you bad or you're jibing, which is when you turn through the wind, because if you're sailing, let's say you're sailing one way, and so the wind is pushing the sail to the other side of the boat, and then you turn, which is either called tacking or jibing, depending on which way you go, the sail has to change sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it comes whipping across. So if you're on a really gusty day, and all of a sudden the wind changes, and all of a sudden the boom and the sail comes swimming back to the other side. So you got to be careful about that. So that's the boom.
You definitely do.
That's why I've been hit by the boom. Yeah.
Have you ever been concussed by it or no?
No.
That's good.
Yeah.
Be careful.
I got a hard head, you know?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So I joined the UFT. I tried out for the UFT sailing team this year.
And like you're allowed to do that as a team.
Yeah. Right? So there's a Seneca kid tried out for. He ended up not joining the team. I think he made it, but he ended up not joining the team because it was too far for him. Mm-hmm. UFT sails out of the National Yacht Club, which is right by Billy Bishop Airport, which is actually super cool because we're sailing and these
planes are
flying and landing over us.
That's so cool.
It's a little stressful because there is a demarcation zone where you can't sail because it's right at the landing strip. And so if you sail, they get like a $10,000 fine because they don't want a mast hitting a plane. So yeah, I show up to try out and all these people know how to sail. And there's something called a roll tack, which is when tacking is when you turn the boat, which you have to do a lot because you're trying to sail. Sail racing is the start line to a windward mark, which is so your start line and then a straight line to the mark where you have to turn around. But that's directly upwind from you. And what I said at the start of the podcast, you can't sail right into the wind, right?
Yes.
So that's upwind. So you have to keep tacking strategically the right time so that you time it right so you can just pop around it and run back.
Okay.
So you have to do a lot. Tacking is very important. And roll tacking is when at the start of the attack, you tip the boat one way, and then as the sail tips around, or sail transfers from one side to the other, you roll the boat with it so that when it comes around, it flattens with it and you gain some speed because for some reason, rolling a boat makes you go faster.
There's a lot of thinking in those.
There's a lot of, and I had to learn that at tryouts. So I had 3 days to figure out how to roll tack. In an effective way to show that I'm not a total no idea what I'm doing. And I managed to do that because I made the team. And they're like, wow, this guy can learn to roll tack in 2 days. We'll get him on the team.
There you go.
So yeah, that was really fun.
When is your guys' competition season and how much do you race?
So our competition season is a bit throughout the year. So it's mainly fall.
Mm-hmm.
We had the UFT Invitational Regatta, which is the shirt I'm wearing today.
Yay.
Which we hosted it and we came third. So oops. but that's not so bad. We have fleet racing, which is one boat from each school. And there's two fleets. So there's A fleet and B fleet.
Okay.
So every school has two boats and A fleet races first and they do their race.
Okay.
And then B fleet races and then you kind of go through that for the weekend. And then there's match racing or team racing where there's two teams out at once and they all have two or three boats.
Okay.
And so you, as a team, you're trying to get the highest position. So if your boat and if you're first and second, you win no matter what. But if you're first and the other team is second, third, fourth, and then your last two boats are fifth and sixth, you lose.
So you've been saying a lot of things about sailing, and I've been thinking to myself, I could never do this. Like, it sounds really complicated. There's a lot of different aspects to it, but you love it.
I love it.
It's fun. Why do you love it so much?
Because I get to go on Lake Ontario in like a meter to a meter foot, 2 meter waves, which is like the waves in reality are only about a half a meter to a meter tall, but from peak to crest,
mm-hmm.
Or valley to crest, which is the bottom of the wave to the top of it, it's like you're sailing in 25 knots, which is
the knot is
the wind. I don't know how it translates to kilometers,
okay.
But 25 knots, you're flying out there. When a motorboat is up to speed, there's something called planing, where there's more of the boat out of the water than in the water, so you're skimming over top of it, right? Whereas when you're not up on plane, you're dispersing the water, you're displacing it. So for a sailboat to be able to get up on plane, you need 25 to 30 knots of wind because you need that much momentum to carry you forward and get you to pop up onto plane. And so that's really hard to do. But when you go out on Lake Ontario on a super windy day and you're flying out there, that's why I love it because there's nothing like it. You're hiked out. Your butt is out of the boat. You're leaning back. Your legs and your core are killing you and you're just getting splashed with water. And there's no adrenaline rush like that.
That That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's not even trapezing, which is a whole other thing.
There's so many different layers.
Yes. So if you really want to get fun, there's something called trapezing. We just call it trapping, where there's a rope tied to the top of the mast, mm-hmm. and then you're strapped in. And so the only part of your body that's touching the boat is your feet. So you're leaning, instead of your butt hanging off, all of you is hanging off.
That sounds so fun.
Yeah.
That sounds so fun.
I've never done it, and I want to so bad, and it looks so much fun. But you need the perfect conditions, you need the right boat, and you need to know what yes. you're doing, or you're going to get a concussion or worse.
Speaking of the conditions, so for your regattas,
yeah.
do they ever get canceled because of there's not enough wind or too
yes.
much wind?
Yes, both. I've had both happen where they abandoned the race because too much or too little. One time we had abandoned a race because there was too little wind, but we were winning, and it was during our team racing, and we were doing really badly, and this was like one of two races we were winning, and we're like, this is awesome. And then they blew the race,
crazy.
And we're like, what are you doing?
We're out to get you.
And
that's
we
crazy.
Reset and had more wind, and we lost. And we're like, come on, you just screwed us in this. And then we've had too much wind where like boats were breaking. Like I had a mast break once on me, which is kind of scary.
Do boats ever flip over?
Yeah, it's called turtling all the time.
Does that happen to you?
Yeah.
Is that fun?
Oh, it's so much fun. If you're racing, no.
Well, yeah.
But when you're like when you're teaching kids to sail on a day where there's no wind and you're scheduled to sail for like this time, so you're not gonna spend it on land.
Yeah.
So the kids are just swimming and sailing. So we just tip the boats over for fun, and we try to teach. There's something called dry riding or dry capping.
Okay.
Where when you capsize, we just tip over. Mm-hmm. You're in the water. You get wet, right? Because the boat tips over, you
yes.
fall into the water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So dry capping is where, as the boat tips over, you hop over the side. So you're like straddling the side of the boat as the sail is in the water flat.
Mm-hmm.
The boat is
yeah.
sticking up. So half the boat's in the water, half the boat's out of the water.
Yeah, yeah.
So you straddle the side, hop over that, stand on the centerboard, which is what I was talking about before, which is like this thing that knifes into the water to keep it flat.
Yeah.
So you stand on that. Haul the boat back level and hop back in without getting wet. So it's super tricky. It's so fun. It's called dry capping or dry riding, where the boat tips and you somehow manage to hop back over onto the side. If you don't line it up right, you just fall off the side of the boat because you missed the centerboard. Pull it back the right way and then hop back in without getting wet.
This is all so cool. This is so cool. So when you were a kid,
yeah.
This is what you love doing?
Yeah, it took me a while to get into it because it is a little scary sometimes.
Yeah.
But once you get over the fear, it's so much fun. At my cottage, again, like my dad taught me how to sail and his dad taught him how to sail. We had a snipe, which is an old wooden it's a restoration project. My dad's buddy had it in his backyard when he bought his house. And it was rotted and falling apart. So my dad and his dad, my grandfather, rebuilt the boat.
Aww.
And then he sailed it all the time. And it was a beast. Two sails. They're 20 feet long, kind of.
Damn.
Yeah, it was fun. And then I sailed. My dad, when he was in grade, I think it was 5, had a paper route. And he bought a used boat called the Sunfish for like $500. From this old lady because she wanted to get rid of it and it was supposed to be for more, and he's like, I only have this, and she said, okay, you can have it. And so that boat, my dad is 58, I think, so when he was in grade 5, that's like 40 something years ago. So this boat is ancient. We've had to replace the rudder and the sails now. That's what I grew up sailing on. That's a one. The Sunfish is, I really love it because it's unique. Most times there's either the jib and the mainsail, or there's just the mainsail with the Sunfish, and the mainsail always ends at the mast. The Sunfish, the mainsail pokes over front of the mast, so it looks like there's a jib, but there isn't. It doesn't really do much, but it's just kind of a quirky thing I love about this boat.
It looks cool.
Yeah, and that's what I learned how to sail on. I would go, my dad would send me out in the water and the lake, and he's like, if you have any troubles, just take the sail down, we'll come rescue you. So I'd get frustrated and fed up, and I'd take the sail down and start swimming back in, and then he'd come out in the little tinny and tow me back in.
The only kind of sailing that I've watched is kind of the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I just kind of watch it because I think it's cool. But what else is happening in the world of sailing right
so,
now?
So, obviously, there's the Olympics, which yes. is huge. And that is usually the skiff stuff, the lasers, the smaller stuff. Those are boats are all the same. And so it's really down to the person sailing it, the way they can shape their speed, shape their sail and the paths they take. So there's something called the Vent de Globe, which is French for around the world, I think, or around the globe, mm-hmm. which out of France, and they sail the world pretty much. You go from France straight down to the Arctic Circles, do a loop and come back up.
That's so cool. How long does that take?
It depends. So there's some boats use hydrofoils, which is another crazy thing, and it's a bit of a new development. I'll talk about it real again, where the boat, it's called flying because on the centerboard, which is what I was talking about before, which knifes into the water, mm-hmm. they put wings. So it works. You can use the planes work where you fly with your wings and there's enough downforce on the bottom of the wings to push it up in the air, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing works in the water. So you're sailing and there's enough force on these wings that are in the water that pushes your boat up out of the water. So the only thing that's in the water is this little bit of fiberglass. So your speed just goes crazy because there's so much less resistance from in air than water, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So these people have these boats that are huge that all have these hydrofoils on them, and they just fly. And I think the record is in the 40 to 60 day kind of. And you do it with two people, or you can do it alone. So it's
doing it alone is crazy.
Yeah. So the slower boats without that, you can do it by yourself or with one other person. You're alone, isolated, no data or very, very little data. If your sails break, you got to fix it. There's a limit to how many sails you can bring on the thing. It's crazy. You can watch all these things on TSN usually. Olympics are on CBC whenever they're on, and TSN Sports, and they all usually carry that stuff. But I know for sure Sailing GP is on TSN. I believe the America Cup is on TSN as well. Weekends. Yeah, you can follow.
This happens like every weekend?
Every regatta weekend. So I don't know the schedule myself offhand.
How like frequent?
Every 2 to 4 weeks probably.
Okay, that's pretty solid.
That's a guess.
Yeah.
If you follow on Instagram, you just look up Sailing GP or Cup of America, you'll find it and they'll have their schedules there. You can Google it and you'll find it there.
Amazing. There we go. If, you know, anyone watching this is thinking to themselves, wow, this is just so amazing and incredible, now I need to sail, how can they go about doing that?
Lots of different ways. So I always think that you got to get in with your kid. You don't have to, but if you have a kid that is adventurous, and like one of the coolest things to do as a kid is learn how to sail, in my personal opinion. So a lot of yacht clubs have kids camps for sailing. They have adult classes too, but the real fun is going as a kid. If you own a sailboat, if you're lucky enough to do that, another great way, it's passed down kind of thing.
Yes.
Or summer camps that are like overnight summer camps almost always have sailing at them.
Thank you so much for coming on to our last episode of Wildcard Athletics.
Thanks for having me. I hope I lived up to the finale.
You did. I learned a lot. I didn't know any of these things. Nothing.
I hope I explained them well.
You did. No, I feel informed now. Now the next time I watch the Olympics or one of these GPs,
yeah,
I'll know. I'll know what's happening.
Yeah.
That's the point of this show. Yay!
Yeah.
Thank you, Brayden, for coming on.
Thanks for having
me. To the show. Good luck with all of your sailing endeavors.
Yeah, I mean, sailing in 2 weeks in Kingston, so it's going to be very cold.
Oh, yeah.
That's
really
wetsuit and spray jacket. That's going to be a very cold weekend. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Don't get sick.
We'll see.
Well, good luck with that.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to Wildcard Athletics this season. I'm Monica, your host. I don't know what else to say.
Bye.
Bye.